clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks, where I didn't want to play the Friends Fortunes this week.
Why not?
I know you got it and I didn't.
But you had a really good one.
Yeah, it's fine. I could just tell people. And also, I just didn't bring it up, so it's fine. Welcome to the show, guys. I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
I'm Josh Lapping.
And it is Halloween, so happy Halloween.
Yeah, it's kind of we get to like do two Halloween, sort
of. I know, it's weird. It is Halloween, and you won't be listening on Halloween, but happy Halloween. Hope you all had a fun holiday, a safe weekend, and I hope that your team was one of the teams that made a trade today on deadline day. We are recording right after deadline day, right after the time that it ended, so we will be able to cover all of those trades on the episode today. But Friends Fortune first, you got yours, and I did not get mine, so you were up 3-0.
Real close, though.
Yeah, so mine
was a good one.
There were 32 teams. Everybody played last week. It was one of those weird things in the middle of the season where nobody had a bye week. We have one more of those, by the way, this year before like all byes are actually done. Thanksgiving week, there will also be no byes. But that makes sense because there's multiple games on Thursday, right? So that, and there's games on Black Friday this year, so that makes sense to me. The one weird, end of October week that doesn't have any bye weeks is weird to me. But regardless, I said that every single team would score at least one touchdown, and every team did except for one. That's right. You guessed it. The Kansas City Chiefs were the only team in the NFL that did not score a touchdown last week.
It really makes me happy, actually, that the Chiefs just continue to be the Bills' bugaboo.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, too, about how I was going to set it up. It's like the Chiefs continue to depress me. But, like, I also, it's weird. I have, maybe one day I will reach it if they keep continuing to do the Bills dirty. But I don't hate the Chiefs, nor do I hate Patrick Mahomes, right? And so we discussed this a little bit, handful of years ago, about how it's weird that nobody hates Patrick Mahomes. And again, maybe one day
I feel like there are people that probably do,
but like, I don't feel the same level of disdain or hatred for Mahomes and the Chiefs that I did for the Pats for all those years. So I don't know if that's because we're actually good and we weren't good during all that. And I kept thinking that we were, I don't know, but I didn't get it, but you got yours regarding Tennessee Titans
and Derrick Henry rushing for 100 yards. My favorite part about this was that you kept talking about it throughout the day when you had that game on. And I was like, come on. Like,
well, cause it's a big
there were a lot
that,
of times because you were watching that game more closely than I was. So I kept being like, hey, how's Henry doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fun because the Falcons defense is not a thing coming into the season that I thought was going to be very good.
No, they have definitely.
I liked some of their pieces, but I didn't think that they would be as good as they have been. But their rush defense has been awesome, and I kept saying it. Well, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all year, and lo and behold, that was your friend's fortune.
Now, close, though. I think he only ended with 101.
I think he had 101. I think he had 101.
There was that one point because, what's her name, Doris something?
Doris Burke.
Yeah, she was like, King Henry hit 100, and then he had another run where it was like stuff or nothing. I was like, oh my God, what if he just lost it?
So funny. But yes, you are now 3-0 in friend's fortune, so...
At least I'm doing something
too
right
big
this
of a
year.
League. Well, let's just get right into it, folks. Let's get
like
to
I
some...
said though. I'm sorry. I just said You, in years past, Friends Fortune used to be like really crazy bold, but this one, like, I thought was so fun. I want to tip my cap to you for that.
I'm trying to thank you. I'm trying to get the. I think there's a balance to be struck, and I think you toe this line perfectly most weeks. Is that over 100 yards is not a crazy thing for a player to get, but you took the narrative and said, well, the Falcons have not. It's not happened against them, right? And it's been Derrick Henry who's been kind of, you know, on and off a little bit this year. He's 29 years old, right? That happens for running backs. And so it's perfect because the feat itself is not like, whoa, right? But the scenario makes it bold, right? It makes it the Friends Fortune. So I'm trying to find the healthy balance there, because if I did every team towards a touchdown last week, that wouldn't have been as fun because there were six or seven teams on bye. This week, it was every single team. And I, you know, it's fine.
Well, I just wanted to, like I said,
Skymore. Just catch the ball, man.
Oh, man.
Regardless, let's get some rant rave recall before we get into some trade deadline news and notes.
Yeah, you want to go first? You want me to go
first? Yeah, I'm going to go really quick because mine is in that same Tennessee Titans game.
Okay.
I'm going to rave about D-Hop. I mean, really, cool, like, yeah. I think we'll talk a little bit about Will Levis later because we're going to talk about this game in the Week 8 in review, and then they're probably featured in Palace Picks. So I say probably as if the rundowns are not in front of me. But, yeah, I think it's awesome for a player that we've both loved his entire career. For a player during the height of D-Hop, I would come on this show every week and say he was the best receiver in the NFL, right? And I just – it's fun – when he's playing as well as he is. And it's not just, I think what I loved most is that it was as vintage D-Hop gets, because it was, you know, the one deep ball, but it was an adjustment on it for the touchdown. Then there was the one where he did three spin moves and gets in the end zone. And then another one where he beats a guy, you know, and so it was just, it was really fun to watch. And we had the really funny, you know, he had two catches for two touchdowns and then he caught one and it wasn't a touchdown. We're like, wouldn't it be funny if he just like knocked it down and said, no, this isn't going to be a touchdown. I don't want it. But yeah, I mean, he was awesome. Will Levis, I would be shocked if he doesn't continue to be the quarterback for them going forward the rest of the year. I mean, there's no reason for them not to.
Sure.
Because one, he played as well as he did. But two, it's time to be real on simultaneous catch. And three, Tannehill hasn't been that great. So, but yes, a little crushing it, little rave about DeAndre Hopkins, Titans wide receiver.
I like that. I'm going to go with this could either be a rant or a rave. I don't know what combining those two things are. Rain, I guess. A rain. I'm going to do a rain.
Rant. You want to do a rant and a rave?
And a rave, yeah. So, yeah, I just feel like it's rain.
Ravd.
Ravd? I like ravd. So, and this is probably just me. This is my own opinion. This could be like, oh, this is so silly. Why are you talking about this? I'm going with the roller coaster that is two franchises right now, but I'm going to rave about one, and obviously one is a rant, right? So I'm going to go with those New Orleans Saints, the team that I can't pick right. They came out, and I talked about picking the game. I picked Indianapolis, and I talked about how I needed to see the offensive cohesion come together that we saw for the last couple of drives against Jacksonville a couple weeks ago. And I feel like they finally started to mesh pretty well. It can be a one-game outlier. Who's to say? It can come back down. I don't think they're going to score nearly 40 every game. That's not what I'm saying. But I do want to tip my cap to Derek Carr, and I think we've talked about Derek Carr. You've been really hard on him. I've been like, he's okay. I'm not saying he's a top-five quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm glad that the shouting or whatever, I mean, obviously they played much better, so he's not over there yelling at everybody, but that needed to come down. But Mark Sanchez said this, and it's something I really, really liked and appreciated. He said it during the game. He's talked about, when you think about New Orleans, one of the famous dishes of that area is gumbo, right? And to make a really good gumbo, it takes time. It takes time for the flour and the fat and the meat and the vegetables to come together to make that really smooth liquid base. I don't know what to call it. But it takes time to do it, right? So even no matter who's coming over, whatever quarterback's coming over to a new system, it's going to take time. So I think I fell in problem of this too, of like, oh, Derek Carr, I think he's an upper echelon quarterback. This is going to be so smooth. I think the Saints, like I said, I think the Saints are going to easily run away with this. That was foolish. I mean, even when Tom Brady went to Tampa, the beginning of the year wasn't great, right? Even when he got to the playoffs, we weren't like, well, they struggled a lot this year. It just takes time to do this. And my rant portion of this is look what's going on in Vegas now, right? So we're obviously entering in week 9, but let's just say the first 6 weeks. So we'll take the 6 weeks that Jimmy was healthy versus the 6 weeks with Derek Carr. Derek Carr was performing so much better. So Josh McDaniels, and we know that he's somebody that I just think shouldn't be there right now, but he went and got your guy because he used Derek Carr as your scapegoat. Oh, like we can't win because we're having this. No, no. Look what's happening. The grass is not always greener. Yeah. So I wanted to rave about what I think New Orleans is starting to cook. I think that gumbo is starting to get ready. It's going to be spiced up so well. And just, we need to get rid of Josh McDaniels.
Have you ever had gumbo before?
Love it.
Really?
Love
I've never it. Had gumbo.
I don't think you'd like it because it's a lot of seafood.
Well, what do you mean? Like, is it? I mean, I like shrimp.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, I mean, obviously yeah. It depends on, but like shrimp, crab, like you're not going to see like a salmon that. Head in there, but I think it's so good.
Anyway.
I think if you, it's, yeah. It's not chili.
I do, but like chili
I feel like
lot.
It's like a southern, like it's soupier than chili. But I feel like you could get behind it because of that.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and also just got to point out that at this point last year, Jimmy Garoppolo had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions with San Francisco. So,
is that what Purdy has right now?
No, that's not a Purdy comment. That's a how bad is Josh McDaniels?
I was just asking to see like. We really can't compare coaches right?
Yeah. So regardless, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, let's get to news and notes. Trade deadline day recap. There were a lot today.
There were. So it was the second most in one day
since like the 90s. Or
and
something
I'm curious
like that.
If that was that top last year. Were there more last year?
I
don't know.
I feel like there were a lot last year.
It did feel like there were a lot.
Let's see. So I have Adam Schefter's tweets of all the trades that have happened so far this year. I don't know if I'm going to be able to remember all the compensation, but Chase Young does go to San Francisco. That was for a 3rd-round pick. We'll talk about that for sure. Montez Sweat, also from the Commanders, gets dealt to Chicago. This for a 2nd-round pick. Leonard Williams, this was, I believe, yesterday, right?
That one happened yesterday.
Gets dealt to Seattle for a 2nd and a 5th or something like that.
Yep.
Kevin Byard earlier in the week got sent to Philly. Ezra Cleveland moved from the Vikings to Jacksonville. We got Joshua Dobbs moving to the Vikings from Arizona. Donovan Peoples-Jones was moved to Detroit. Rasul Douglas was Buffalo's big pickup to shore up their cornerback position. Excuse me. And then some other trades that have happened over the last week or so. Kentavious Street went to Atlanta. Mecole Hardman, of course, returned to KC a few weeks back. Randy Gregory to San Francisco. J.C. Jackson, New England. Chase Claypool, Miami. Van Jefferson, Atlanta. Cam Akers, Minnesota. So those are the trades that happened so far this year in 2023. But obviously those big ones at the pass rushers the last day or two. Rasul Douglas to Buffalo. Josh Dobbs to Minnesota, I think, are the biggest ones to sort of hone in here and discuss.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you have to tip your hat to San Francisco. I get that they're coming off a really rough road right now, right? They've lost 3 of their last 3. They're going into their bye week right now, so they're reeling a little bit. But this also isn't something where obviously I think they have a little bit of embarrassment of riches, but this defensive line, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that Nick Bosa is still shaking off rust from his holdout. I don't know if it's Steve Wilkes and his just defensive, scheming or whatnot.
There were reports
that
in this bye week that there were going to be conversations between Shanahan and Wilkes about him moving down to the field instead of being in the booth. So I don't know if there's just a matter of that or what, but obviously getting a guy like Chase Young to come in there on a bye week where you get time to fit him in there is perfect.
To fit him in there because the pass rush has not been there for San Francisco the way that it certainly was last year. I mean, like, they were I can't remember exactly which stat. I think it might have been pressures or it might have been pass rush effectiveness. They were 7th, and now they're in the 20s. So they have definitely dropped down despite having all of the pieces that they do already. So they, like I said, this isn't just something, oh my God, like, the second-best pass rush team just went and got more. Like, they have struggled in that this year thus far. So going and getting that piece, especially for a compensatory third round pick. And I think that is something that I think is huge, right? This isn't just San Francisco's third round pick, which you're probably thinking is going to be upper in it anyways, but it's a pick that they got.
Yeah, I think they're set to get three compensatory third round picks heading into the season. So to send one of them for a guy like Chase Young,
huge,
is wild. And now that he gets to get back there with his running mate Bosa from his days in Ohio State. And who would have said in 2019, I would have said, yeah, Bosa and Young, they'll both be rushing on the same team in a couple years. Don't worry. You'd be like, what?
It's just nuts.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
And that means that San Francisco got two of the – they were both selected in the top five.
Yep.
Nuts.
They were both selected in the top three, I think.
Was Bosa two?
Bosa was two, and Chase Young was the first overall pick.
He was the first? Oh, God.
Maybe he was two. I don't remember. 2019, who was the quarterback that it would have been? I don't know.
I could be wrong. But yeah.
We have a football podcast. It's just crazy. So the rich get richer, and obviously we'll keep talking about San Francisco going forward because they are one of the games that we're going to talk about. But it's just crazy. And then Washington, a team that I don't know that – I know that we – Montez Sweat gets traded to the Bears, right? And so this is a very interesting trade for a lot of reasons because there's the talk that, you know, Washington obviously decided to become sellers, and it's odd because while they did lose to Philly, they had two tough, close games with Philly. Sam Howell plays his best game of his young career, and it's looking like they're on the upswing even though they lost, right? But at 3-5, the seventh seed in the NFC is going to be a team that's like 9 or 9 and 8 probably, right? 8 and 9
maybe. It could be, yeah.
And so there are teams going to be fighting for that. Washington could have been one of those teams, and of course they still can, but they're selling on these players, which are...
Was Kyler Murray, just to answer our question. It was Kyler Murray was number
one. Was it? And then it was Chase Young?
Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. I'm a year behind. Sorry, continue.
Okay. But so I just think that it was a surprise team that was a seller, not a buyer. And we talked about there are teams every year that buy a player that we didn't think would. And it was the Bears this year who sent a second round pick to get the pass rusher Montez Sweat. And pass rush is the weakest part of the Bears defense, right? And so they get a guy who they could have pursued. What? What?
It was Joe Burrow.
Oh, well, that's hilarious. Ohio State. And they get a guy... and Montez Sweat, who can be that premier pass rusher for them. Now, he's 28 years old, right? 27. So he's getting a little bit older. But they were likely possibly going to be in the sweepstakes to get him in a free agency. They have a ton of cap space. And so the argument that you had made that I've seen others make is, you know, get him in the building now. And maybe that helps you convince him to stay.
I think now, it makes a ton of sense.
Now, well, so here's the thing. And this is the conversation that it is, I think, is... There's a lot of debate about, oh, you could have done this to get them here or done that to get them there. And I think what it boils down to it is when you feel like you got an opportunity to get a guy that you want, feel like you just got to do it. Like, I know that that's sometimes how organizations like the Rams end up where they are now, where they just did that all across the board and got all these different guys. And they got a Super Bowl out of it, but now they're kind of in a little bit of a cap hell right now. And, you know, they're... not a bad team, right? But they're certainly not a good team right now. And then you've got a team like the Bears who there's going to be questions at quarterback, and they were going to possibly trade away their really young, incredibly talented corner at the deadline today, which they didn't do. So we don't really know what's going on with the Bears, and it's a little confusing to me. But the Bears were a team we talked about as a long shot, yes, but a long shot dark horse to be pretty good this year with the further development of Justin Fields, getting DJ Moore in there. And then, of course, their defense was pretty good last year. And so we thought maybe there would be some progression of that to getting better, and it hasn't happened. So who's to say that they don't grab – I literally just said the 7 seed could be 8 and 9, 9 and 8. Who's to say they don't grab Montez Sweat, Justin Fields comes back, and then they go on a streak? That could happen.
It's possible.
Do I think it's going to happen? Of course I don't think it's going to happen. But it could happen. And maybe their thought is, let's just go for it because we have the Panthers' first-round pick. We think that's probably going to be high because right now they're the number one overall pick. Currently, we have that pick. Let's just try our best to win. We already know we're going to have a high pick.
Is that true?
Let's see what happens. What?
Is that true?
That they have the number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be them or the Cardinals.
I think it's Arizona right now.
Well, regardless, they're one of the top picks. So, yeah.
So what my question for you, and I know you just talked a lot and I don't want to like just pass it back to you, but what does this mean for the organization that is Washington right now?
Yeah, I think that they're sellers now. I think that there's no other way. I mean, here's the other thing. I did see somebody take a different perspective that made me pause a little bit, and they said like Washington is building for the future, right? And we already kind of knew that, but they're going to have 5 to 7 picks in the top 100 next year. They've got their two cornerstone defensive tackles in place, right? Including Darren Payne, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. They've got two really great wide receivers. They've got two solid running backs, 1.5 solid running backs. they like Sam Howell, right? And so they have pieces on this roster, and next year you're going to have a lot of draft picks at the top, right? So they could turn it around very quick, right? It's just interesting that they sell both these guys on the same day and not just the older one to get a pick and then re-sign a guy in Chase Young who has looked amazing.
Sure. So do you feel like, I absolutely hear you about the rebuild, because I do feel like they have some good pieces in place. Do you feel like this is an indication that as we've seen all this movement with Washington about the new owners coming in, about how, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on his name, the Lakers...
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Magic Johnson, how he's been critical of them thus far. Do you feel like that is a signal being like, Ron, like your days are limited?
Well, one of the other things that Washington has done with this new group is they've hired a lot of analytics guys, a lot of sort of Moneyball type administrators, right, executives. And I think they see that, you know, pass rusher is the most outside of quarterback, probably the most expensive position in the sport.
Sure.
And because they're hard to come by generational talents. And so their thought is, we're not winning this in the next 2 or 3 years. So send these guys off, recoup our picks, and hope that we hit on younger guys. I know that Chase Young is only 24, which is why it's still confusing. But they're saying that the math of recoup picks and build more is the math is more favorable to do that than it is to pay Sweat and then pay Young and then just hope that it works out. Yeah. Right. So
I feel like that has to be an indication that with all that movement that's happened with the middle of the road that we've seen from Washington right now, that change is coming to let a new regime have this to take over.
I think Rivera was somebody we already expected to be on his way out at the end of this year. And I agree. This is just more indication of it. So
it is intense. I will say you mentioned the Bears cornerback. So we're talking about Jalen Johnson. So he is getting ready to come up on the end of his contract with the Bears right now, which is a reason he was asking to get out, because internal talks have not yet happened of being like, we're going to give you a contract extension.
The frustrating, the annoying thing about this, and I'll toss it back to you to say the annoying thing and then give it to you, is that he's 24 years old, and the Bears continually have said the last couple of years, we want to get homegrown talent that we draft, develop, and sign, right? And they said there were talks last week and they didn't come to a deal. What do you want? You drafted him. You developed him. He's a great corner, 24 years old. Sign him to what he wants. You have the cap space, right?
Oh, so you're putting it on the organization, not the player.
This is you. What else? I don't understand what you want when you come out and you say, we want to homegrown talent. We want to draft them, develop them, and keep them.
Sure.
Okay, you did it. Why do you want to trade him? You did it. Sign him.
Gotcha.
He's a great corner.
Gotcha. Well, they didn't want to trade him. There were reports that they received offers and none of them met what they thought he was worth. I will say, I think he may be one of the biggest winners of the day, in because I feel like from getting Montez Sweat, he moves up in the pecking order, that the Bears didn't trade for Montez Sweat for 9 games or 8 or whatever remaining and then let him leave, right? So he automatically, in my opinion, would jump over Johnson in terms of franchise tag candidate, which either would mean Johnson is going to get a long-term contract or he's going to be able to leave.
That's actually a really, really great point that I don't think a lot of people will notice. Can you franchise tag a player that you traded for, though?
Yeah, yeah. The Bears will be able to apply it this way.
Well, that's true. And I said,
if they need to.
We could stop this episode at the end of this once we're done, and it could be like Jalen Johnson signed an extension, right?
Yeah, sure.
You can't come out and say that and then be like, we were shopping a guy around. I don't like that.
No, that's interesting.
I feel bad for Bears fans. I know what it feels like to be terrible for year after year after year, right? But it's just annoying that your organization says one thing and then Fields offers for it. Just it's weird to me. But
so outside of Young and Sweat, who is your favorite trade?
Yeah, I mean, if it was a rock, I would have been excited, right? Like, it's got to be Rasul Douglas. The more I read about it, I did not know a lot about Rasul Douglas, apparently, because the more that I've read about it in the last hour since it's happened, the more I get more and more excited. I mean, not only is it another – I mean, we have a great track record with trading for or getting Green Bay defensive backs, right? Micah Hyde's been the leader of our defense for years now. Rasul Douglas, only 28, right? So he is getting up there in age, but we've seen corners into their early 30s still be great, sure, right? He's an excellent zone corner, and how many times do I talk about on the show? That's McDermott's scheme. He loves lockdown zone corners. There's a reason Kyrie Elam hasn't gotten to the field a lot because he's struggled in the zone scheme. You're not giving up a ton, right? Because we're likely going to get a compensatory pick. We were just talking about that for Tremaine Edmonds leaving in free agency this year. So that's a swap of third round picks, and we still get a fifth back. So we're not losing a number of picks, right? We're just moving back in the draft. And it's a position of need, right? And the more I read about him, he's in the top 10 or 12 of like Pro Football Focus. And there's an athletic guy who did ranking his quarterbacks this year. Like the more and more I read about him, like team leader, like everybody loves him. It's just somebody actually tweeted, they were like, Rasul Douglas is the most Buffalo Bill, non-Bill in the league right now. So I'm glad that he's finally on the team. And then also at the end of it all, I didn't realize that he started his career in Carolina as a Panther. So it's the more Carolina connection with McDermott and Bean. But yeah, I mean, it's super exciting. And again, I have said multiple times, I haven't given up on them yet. And does this trade make me think, oh, I shouldn't have recalled them? They're going all the way. Of course not. All right. It's exciting to see that Bean was like, I know we have this need. Don't worry, guys. I'm not going to mortgage our future to get someone, right? Because Jalen Johnson probably would have taken much more, yeah, right? And so he said, I'm going to get a guy who's still very, very good that could still be with us for a couple of years, but I'm not going to give up everything for it. I just think it's a great move for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I mean, the Buffalo Bills are absolutely getting a heck of a player, somebody that is out there with a lot of attitude.
There's a ton of Green Bay fans that are furious that that Green Bay moved this guy.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but
yeah, I mean, well, you're the GM, so you will always see it that way in the GM's eyes. But a lot of fans are like, why would you trade? This is a leader in our locker room. We're the youngest team in the NFL. You're giving up, and I'm like, I mean, I feel like it makes sense that the GM might be like, look, guys, this might not be our year. Let's get a high draft pick and try again next year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously I am speaking as the GM. I mean, it is hard to lose one of your starting corners that is a leader, is a ball hawk, and brings a lot of bite to a defense that I think outside of linebacker doesn't necessarily have that. But we're talking about a player that 2 years ago was signed off a practice squad. So to be able to get a third round pick for that, it's not like you invested the number 2 overall pick and then got a, you know, that's not a dig on Washington, but to be like, why did you do? I mean, it's okay. It's okay. I think my favorite signing, I'll shout out two that we haven't talked about, and I won't talk about it for very long, but it's a trade that happened actually last week in Kevin Byard going to Philadelphia. Howie Roseman has a way of, I don't know if he has a secret picture against the Titans or something, but always seems to just, I think Kevin Byard is a great, great safety. So him coming over for a relatively low cost, and I know he got thrown in, and obviously they gave up 30 points to Washington, so it wasn't like, oh man, like look at this lockdown. But I think as he continues to get comfortable there, we're talking about how the secondary has been suspect for the Eagles, I think getting him there. And then Ezra Cleveland going to Jacksonville. And this might not even be a slam dunk. He's a starting guard there, but we have seen they're either really great at run blocking and ETN is doing everything and everything, or Trevor Lawrence is being sacked and fumbling the ball. So even if he's not the starter right now, if something were to happen and a guard were to go down, having a piece that you're like, okay, we have somebody that has starting experience, we can plug in there, because we've seen plenty of teams, especially when we get to the playoffs, if somebody goes down, that can be a make or break if you don't have a lineman there.
Yeah, that's the kind of move that a contending team makes, right? They say, this is an area of concern for us. We need to make sure that we have this under control. So, yeah, that's a great move.
I really like that one.
And this is a good segue into the injury segment because there are so many backup quarterbacks that took snaps this week that I can say to talk a little bit about the Minnesota trade because I want to talk about Kirk Cousins a little bit here.
Sure.
So the Vikings start 0-4. They crawl their way out of the depths to get to 4-4 after a big victory over Green Bay last week, and Kirk Cousins go down with a season-ending injury. Now they make the trade for Josh Dobbs, who's been playing pretty well with Arizona, but just gut-wrenching for a guy that became a fan favorite after the quarterback series on Netflix this offseason leading up to the season. And then just a guy that every time you hear soundbite after him, news story is just a nice guy by all accounts, a leader in the locker room. And they've been doing this crawling out mostly without Justin Jefferson, who's supposed to come back in the next couple of weeks. It's gut-wrenching for an organization. But you hope that a guy like Josh Dobbs can come in and still be good enough that this team could fight for that playoff position.
It's going to be so interesting what happens with the quarterback room right now in Minnesota. I agree with you. I mean, I am sad about Kirk. When we did our quarterback ranking earlier this year, I said, I don't care what people say. I think he is absolutely a top 10 quarterback, and I think he was playing some of his best football thus far in this month's stretch as Minnesota started to turn it around, right? So absolutely somebody that we really like and appreciate and respect. It does stink. Who knows who's going to be the quarterback? I mean, I think you could say that it's going to be Josh Dobbs because he has done a pretty good job in terms of what he's done with Arizona thus far. But let's not act like Minnesota gave up a third round pick to go and get this guy. They gave relatively low compensation to get him. So if it is this kid, I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, so I looked this up and I looked a little bit into it. His name's Jaren Hall. He is 25 years old. He's a rookie. He used to be Zach Wilson's backup in BYU.
Okay.
And didn't really get a shot until he did. And everybody sort of just freaked out about how much they loved Jaren Hall, right? And so while in his couple of snaps, right, that he got against Green Bay, that you pointed out to me, rightfully so, he didn't look great. But a lot of people rave about this kid. And I should say this. More often than not, when a new quarterback comes in, there's always positive stories, right?
Sure.
But, like, not everybody raves about every player that comes in, right? And so I've looked a little bit more into him, and he is going to start this week. Kevin O'Connell already came out, said Jaren Hall will be the starter this Sunday. So we're obviously going to follow it, because who's to say? Maybe the kid comes in, is really cool. He's really good, right? Dual threat quarterback, and who knows? But yeah, I mean, Josh Dobbs in there, veteran in the room. Kirk's still going to probably be around the team. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, for a team that last year won their division, lost in the wild card round of the playoffs with young head coach and Kevin O'Connell, doesn't want it to be just a sunk season. They've got pieces on this roster, right? Their defense is playing so much better with Brian Flores after the first couple weeks. And also something that we saw with Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins. Remember, they were historically bad to start his tenure in Miami, and then everything kind of clicked, and then they started becoming better and better as the weeks went on. Same thing happened with Minnesota here. They were pretty bad to start the year because Flores was blitzing at a historic rate. And by the way, he's still blitzing more than any other team, but it's come down
a little bit.
It's come down a little bit, and the defense is performing so much better, right? And so you combine that with a team that's about to get their offensive weapons back. I think this is a good move by Minnesota to be like, we like this rookie and we're very excited about him, but just in case he's not ready, yes, we're not ready to give up on the year, let's go grab this veteran who we know can perform.
I think you hit the nail on the head 120%. This is a great move for Minnesota. Obviously, I think it's going to be very difficult to replace Kirk Cousins this year, and that is a gut blow. But I think a move like this, whether or not it is to get a starter or to get a high insurance backup policy in case X, Y, or Z happens, it absolutely shows that you're not being like, well, just tank the season, it's done. I think holding on to Danielle Hunter, who was a possible trade candidate today, says like, yeah, like we get that we had this rocky start, but we've shown a lot of grit and we're not giving up. And I respect that.
Yeah, and I just wanting to lead into another team that had, because there were a lot of teams that had backup quarterbacks.
There sure were.
But to lead sort of to another quarterback injury into our week eight review, is that we had a rookie quarterback in Will Levis that just lit up the field. 28-23, Titans over Falcons. Yeah, I mean, this was just a surprise because we talked about it was going to be the dual quarterback system. You had mentioned And you so told me about that. I was like, ooh, that's fun. Let's see how this goes. It never goes well, but it's always a fun story. Malik Willis in his first couple plays fumbles. Will Levis comes in and never leaves, throws four touchdowns, three to DeAndre Hopkins, one to Nick Westbrook Ikhine, another young receiver that they like. And yeah, I mean, Will Levis, like, a lot of people are surprised. And again, I'm not saying that I'm like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. But this, he showed exactly why he was a guy people were talking about near the top of the draft, right? He's got a cannon for an arm. He's got good mobility. And if you could put it all together like he did on Sunday, he's a first-round talent, right? But he fell because people were concerned about consistency. Obviously, he ended up having an injury that he couldn't, you know, play early in this season. But he's going to start on in Thursday Night Football against Pittsburgh. And he was awesome in this game.
Yeah, I think we will learn a lot, and this isn't to take anything away from Atlanta, especially as we did throw out those accolades of complimenting their defense earlier on in the episode, but I think we will learn a lot on Thursday night, and I'm not expecting him to go out and throw four touchdowns and zero interceptions. I mean, if he does, like, good golly gracious, but I want to see that poise and that composure against an upper echelon defense that we know can absolutely turn the script, so... If he comes out and does that, because like you said, the knock on him was would we see consistency. So if he can just string a little bit of that together, I think, yeah, unfortunately, probably Ryan Tannehill's time is done if that happens.
Yeah, and there's no reason for him not to be because of how good he was. And unless he comes out and it's just horrible, right? Which I don't expect it to be. Like, he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. That's like, he's not going to have the game he just had every week, right? It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if he comes out and he continues to show promise, there's just no reason for them to go back to Tannehill. So it's sad for Tannehill. I know there were reports that maybe he got dealt at the deadline and that didn't happen, maybe to Atlanta, who just lost and obviously is struggling at quarterback because Desmond Ridder was pulled. Now, there was a concussion. There's reports that said he was cleared to play, and so who knows if they were just playing it safe.
Yeah.
But Taylor Heinicke did come in and lead a couple of touchdown drives to keep them in that game. So who's to say what Atlanta does going forward? But they're another team that maybe could have used the quarterback and that we don't know what they're going to do going forward.
So as the pseudo Falcons fan, what boat would you be in right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I liked a lot of what I saw from Heinicke. And so I'm not going to be upset if they decide to go with Heinicke. But I think that we've seen in Heinicke's career what happens. We've seen he gets inserted, right, as the backup to sort of interject some life. And then for a couple of weeks, it's pretty good. And then it tapers off, right? And so for me, I think I would like to – I know that Ridder is, like, leading the league in fumbles or something like that this year. So it's not been great. I'd like to just keep rolling out the young guy and just see what we have. Because sure. I don't think, as much as I love Taylor Heinicke, he's a super fun story. Obviously, we loved the playoff game that he had against Tampa Bay in a loss. I need to remind some people because sometimes when you talk about it, it feels like it was a win. He did win, lost. He had some cool plays, right? But like, I think we've seen the storybook on him. You're not going to win the Super Bowl with Taylor Heinicke. And so for me, I think that you can still contend for the division with him or Ridder. And so why not go with the younger guy, even though it's, you know, 7-8 weeks and we've seen some good, but obviously a decent amount of bad. Why not continue with the young guy just to make for sure that by the end of the year, if he didn't make it or he wasn't cutting up the snuff, that next year you can attack with as much resources as you need to get a quarterback to get you over the hump. I just feel like that's the smarter play right now.
The NFC South is still just anybody's game. You got the Bucks at 3-4 and then the Falcons and the Saints at 4-4 apiece. So, you know, I guess
and
even...
And then you've got the Carolina Panthers at 1-6.
Just got their
lurking.
First win. Got their first win, everybody. When, I mean, literally, I know it's funny and it won't more likely than not happen, but even there, they're not out of it, right? So it's going to be fascinating to see how these teams manage the second half of the year and what comes out of that. Let's go over and talk real quick about the Philadelphia Eagles and those Washington Manders.
Yeah, it was a career day for Sam Howell. Sam Howell was sacked 0 times against Philly for the second time. And we've talked a little bit about this, that we don't know why the stats ended up that way, because he did get stripped of the ball on a play, but maybe they considered that a run. I don't know. But
I'm pretty positive it counted as a sack.
But even if it counted as a sack, one sack in both games is still much crazy better for the track record of them, right?
Yes.
On the Philly side, A.J. Brown is now the first receiver in NFL history to have 125 receiving yards in 6 straight games.
He's crushing it.
He's just quietly having the greatest season of a wide receiver of all time. And I know people are talking about it, but like, I feel like I don't hear about it a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, Philadelphia, it's not been perfect. It's not been sexy. It's not been pretty at times. But they're 7-1, and now they're heading into this colossal clash of the Titans against the Dallas Cowboys, which, again, we will cover, trust me. But, yeah, I mean, it could just be that it's a bad matchup because Sam Howell is good at attacking down the field with 2 good receivers, which is what happened on Sunday. But you know who also has a good quarterback and pretty good receivers is Dallas. So, well, we'll see what happens with that. But, it's Philly just does what they need to do. And finally had one play stopped. The brotherly shove did not work on one play. Somebody said, do you think they did it on purpose?
Just to so like, everyone would stop. See,
look, it doesn't always work.
No, honestly, I mean, and that was something I was going to talk about on the show before everything happened. I flipped my script on the brotherly shove. I've been very much against it, but I've changed my mind. I've changed my tune on that. But I think on that particular play, it looked wrong from the very beginning. Like, I remember seeing, because Jalen, and I think I talk about it often when I see other teams do it, Jalen doesn't go middle, right? Jalen goes side to side. And that's where a lot of other quarterbacks are like, I'm just going to go with the center and we're going to get there, where Jalen just sneaks in, and that's how they get through to an extra couple yards that they usually get, because it's very rarely do they pick up half a yard. Like, they do it for 2, 3, 4 yards. But from that, he went up, and it seemed like he went up, and like, you just saw like his hands, and you never see it like that, and they lost the football. So I don't know what happened on that particular play, but I mean, great job, Washington, for finally being able to hang your cap that they stopped Philadelphia do it, because I think I've only seen Philadelphia get stopped. Like, I know it can't be. I know they've been stopped more than one other time, but I feel like I can only remember one other time.
They were stopped like 3 or 4 times total. But yeah, I mean, we don't want to spend too much time on Philly because we're going to talk about them heading into our
Julio pick section. Jones finally caught his touchdown.
But Julio Jones caught a touchdown. That was very fun. So yeah, this was a very interesting game. It was a very exciting game. Another interesting and exciting game was the Seattle Seahawks beating the Cleveland Browns 24-20. Weird game because Seattle went up early by multiple scores. And then Cleveland just kind of hung around and forced Geno into some turnovers and hung around. And then all of a sudden they're leading and you're like, whoa, what is happening here? And then Geno Smith finally led the drive. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the rookie receiver, with the touchdown to go ahead. And then they were able to force P.J. Walker into a couple of mistakes. And Seattle wins. Seattle sits atop the NFC West. Ooh, I got it.
The map.
I got it.
The map of our country. Yeah, this is a game that I'm glad it was more competitive than I think we thought when we had Pal's picks. You were like, this one's one of the easier ones. I'm glad it turned out not to be that. It does make me feel bad or disappointed for the Browns organization right now, though, because I think this is, and not to take anything away from PJ Walker, I mean, I think he's done an admirable job for something that he probably never expected to do. But I think if Cleveland just had that quarterback, right, they had the ball with the 2-minute warning coming up, and if they just were able to convert a first down, I think they win that game. So it does make me feel bad for the organization, but we've already talked about that organization, how they've made their bed and now they need to sleep in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, and who's to say? I've not heard anything about updates about Deshaun Watson. He did not suit up for this game. Dorian Thompson Robinson was the backup, the rookie out of UCLA. So yeah, I don't know what Cleveland does going forward, because they have a Super Bowl roster. The defense is Super Bowl caliber. Amari Cooper is just as good as he always has been. Elijah Moore sprinkled in there, the other receiver. David Njoku has been showing as he's one of the top tight ends in the league. And of course, Nick Chubb went down, but Jerome Ford's been pretty darn good. Mixing Kareem Hunt and Pierre Strong, they've got a nice trio back there. I know that they've also got some injuries at the offensive line, but they could win a Super Bowl this year, right? But they just don't have the quarterback to do it, and that's why I slashed them on our Halloween episode last week.
Very fair, yeah. Well, how about those Denver Broncos break in a 8-year streak against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Listen, it can be said about the Denver Broncos. Nobody beats them 17 times in a row. Unbelievable. Somebody on Get Up was like, talk about the most predictable upset of the week. And I'm like, was it though? Because like, I can see it being a close game because also it was kind of a tight game the last time they played. And Denver does sometimes play Kansas City tight, right?
Yeah.
But I did not expect this kind of game, right? And it's 14-9 late in the third quarter. So it wasn't like Denver was just like ahead and a way out in front the whole game, right?
Yeah.
It was close. And Kansas City could not get it done. Now, there was a 4th-and-2 late in the game where Mahomes drops it in a bucket to Sky Moore for a touchdown, and he drops it. There were many drops in this game. Are you concerned about everybody? This is the question that everybody's asking on every show. And I think most of them are probably right with what they say. But I want your take. Are you actually very concerned about the Chiefs?
Very concerned? No, I wouldn't say that I'm very concerned. I think the Chiefs are still absolutely a very good team. Maybe I think that because of their upper echelon defense that we haven't seen in years past, where we needed to see the Chiefs go and score 40 or whatever to get it done. But right now, the Chiefs are 6-2. They've lost two games that I feel like were winnable games. I mean, absolutely, this is, I don't want to do this both times the Chiefs are lost of discrediting their opponent. Denver earned it, but I put this as a bad game for the Chiefs. And there we've seen, maybe more so this year than any year, every team is going to have bad weeks, right? So do I think that this is an absolute slam dunk? Oh, Kansas City's going to the Super Bowl. They've won it before they've even got there. No. But am I concerned being like, oh, well, they're screwed? No, not at all.
I think of the two losses, this is the one that I give more credit to their opponent. I know we talked about week one, about, you know, obviously Detroit, they didn't play a bad game necessarily, right? But there were key moments that Kansas City probably should have capitalized and won, right? And this game, while there still were key moments that Kansas City should have capitalized and there were drops or mistakes, or guys couldn't get open, I give a little bit more credit to Denver in this one because
that's totally fair.
Their pass rush was pretty darn good. Their coverage was also good. Like, I know that, you know, we're talking about Kansas City receivers, excuse me, lacking, but Travis Kelce never seems to have any issue against teams getting open, and all of a sudden he has issue not getting open in this game.
Yeah, this
so
is
I do credit Denver for what
they
did.
Me saying that is not to discredit Denver.
Right.
In the last handful of weeks, Denver's defense has definitely flipped a switch versus the historic, awful garbage that we saw in the first month and a half of the season. We'll have to see if that becomes more of a trend than a couple week outlier. So absolutely, but this is also, I mean, Russ threw for 150 yards and was able to capitalize on some short fields and whatnot.
3 touchdowns, no interceptions,
which is great. The offense was not necessarily ever the issue.
Yeah, no,
for
yeah,
for the beginning,
you're right,
of it,
you're right.
But it, like, let's not say this was a juggernaut rollover game.
No, I'm very interested to watch. I will say this, we're going to watch both teams, right? It's not anything to say that. But going forward, I'm less – like, for Kansas City – why can't I talk? For Kansas City going forward, I'm not watching extra close to be like, ooh, are they going to figure this out? Because I'm pretty confident they'll figure it out. For Denver, I'm very interested in the next couple weeks to see, is this now a trend that they're just a good team now? Because they're 3-5. They're completely not out of it, but – they have a bye week this week.
They are on bye, yep.
And then they come back on primetime against Buffalo, right? So who's to say, like, that game's going to be so weird, especially because it's, you know, we'll talk about Buffalo later, but it's just, that game's going to be so weird because they play the Cincinnati Bengals this week, who beat the San Francisco 49ers. That's called a segue, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and
the
Bengals,
31-17. Joe Burrow was just unconscious in this game. But I feel like we also need to hone in on Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. Both of them showed up in this game. They made Brock Purdy look bad. Although I will say this, I don't think enough people are talking about the handful of throws that I saw Purdy make that I was like, oh, okay, I think I get the Brock Purdy thing a little bit more. Because he made some, especially on that one last drive that got them back into it, two straight throws of him rolling out to his right and just, I mean, it clearly was everything he had in his arm to get it there, but he got it there both times. Two great throws. So, I mean, I saw some things from Purdy. But, yeah, I mean, talk about a complete game from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals, I don't want to say are peaking. That's not the right word. But the Bengals are starting to streak a little bit. They're starting to sprint, if we like that word better.
Yeah, I think the analogy is like they got knocked down and they've been like just trying to get back to their feet. And I think they got back to their feet last week. And I think they're moving forward now, right? So they're not sprinting yet, which is scary because they just did this to a team in the Niners that we're all convinced is one of the best in the league, if not the best. And they did this to them. That's scary.
I actually feel like they got up a couple of weeks ago. So I hear what you're saying. I'm higher on them. I think they got up a couple of weeks ago, maybe against Arizona, but I think they are running now. They are historically under Taylor a lot better post-bye than they have been before it. They, you know, I understand the panic that we all felt about it, but this is also a team that did the same thing last year where they started at 0-2 and they're like, oh well, Super Bowl hangover, they stink, right? They and then they just figure out a way, and I still get that they have this massive gauntlet of a stretch coming up here, and we'll have to see how they perform during that and whatnot, but I feel really good about being like, yeah, this is absolutely a team that nobody wants to face.
And I certainly don't either. Any other games you wanted to cover before we get into our picks?
No, not right now.
So that means it's time for
Pal's Picks.
Oh yeah, I had a great week.
You did. You went 3-0.
I had a great week. I felt good about it.
You went 3-0. Actually, yeah. My favorite part about it is that in terms of picks, I actually feel like you didn't have a great week. But the ones I gave you, you knocked out of the park.
Yeah, I had an okay week in the pick'em pool. I think I'm either in the lead or tied again for the lead, so I didn't have as good of a week. But yes, I did nail the picks that we had in Pal's Picks.
Sure did. So you improved to 16-8. I did okay. I went 2-1. Not like I did a bad job. I am 9-15. So you still got lots of breathing room. I got to give you the games first this week. We're starting on Thursday Night Football when Will Levis and those Titans travel to Pittsburgh to take on Kenny Pickett, who says he's playing.
Love it. He said definitely playing. We don't normally do this on the show, but I want to do this first. Who do you think I'm going to pick? Because I think I'm gonna surprise you, but I wish I didn't say that now. But before I said that, who would you think I would pick?
I would have thought, I mean, my gut instinct is that I think you're going to pick Steelers.
Okay, yes, I am going to surprise you. I'm going with the Titans. So here's the thing.
Let's go.
I still like the Steelers, but I lost a lot of faith in the Steelers last week because the Steelers were set up to do exactly what they've been doing in their victories this year, which is be not that great, not that great, not that great, but their defense crushes it, keeps them in the game, and then late in the game, Kenny Pickett in the offense shows up and wins them the game, right? So now that I'm seeing that, oh, that isn't just always going to happen.
Well, of course it can't happen when Kenny's not out there.
Yeah, well, again, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I loved what I saw out of Will Levis last week so much that I know it's the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. It's a different defense, especially on the road, than the Atlanta Falcons defense. But I loved what I saw from Levis so much and D-Hop so much that I think that they get that rolling for a second straight week. I know this is technically an upset pick, right? So, you know, check your local betting books. This is probably plus money, but I really think that the Titans found something pretty impressive, and I think that's another reason why they didn't trade Derrick Henry. They didn't move off of other pieces like D-Hop, who that was also in the conversation. I think that they think they have something, and they're going to keep rolling. Now, they're 3-4 now, I think, or 3-4. Yeah, I think they're 3-4 because I think they had a bye week. But regardless, it doesn't matter. They are still in this conversation, right? Obviously, Jacksonville's pulling ahead of them with 6 wins, but they've not given up on their season yet. I haven't given up on their season yet, but I am losing faith week to week of the Pittsburgh Steelers because this offense cannot seem to get going.
It will be very, very fun, I think, in a game that I didn't initially think would be that fun. I'm excited about this rookie matchup against this great defense and to see what happens. How about let's go with the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, this is the hardest one out of the three that you gave me for me. This is the hardest one because I could see both sides, right? I just mentioned how Washington was a matchup nightmare for Philly, and in theory, the Cowboys are a better version of what Washington is, right? Because they've got a better quarterback and better receivers, right? And then they've got better pass rush and better corners than Washington does, right? So in theory, they should be better, right? And Philly, like, they should be able to run right up the field against against the Cowboys, right? They should be able to do what they always want to do. I don't feel good about either way, but I'm going to just stay the home team. I'm just going to say they split home games, right?
Okay.
They go home, and then when they go to the Dallas, they'll lose that one. That's what I'm just going to say.
Okay.
I think both games probably end up being super close. It's very exciting. It's the first matchup of Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. I teased that a couple weeks ago because Jalen was out the one game, and then Dak was out the other game. The orders switched, but that's what happened last year. So very exciting. It should be a close game. I think this is one of those like classic 34-31 games where it's tied going into the fourth quarter and somebody leads the game-winning field goal drive. Like, that's what it feels like to me. So it's going to be really cool, but I think not knowing which one I should pick, I think I go home team.
I respect it. I respect it. And last but not least, Sunday Night Football, Josh Allen and the Bills returning to Cincinnati to take on Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I swear I'm not reverse jinxing this. I think this is Cincy by double digits.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, I don't... I'm
double digits? Yeah, Why is that?
I don't feel like... I swear to you, guys, I know that I am known for doing the reverse jinx on this show, and I've admitted to doing that. That's not this. Cincinnati is a much better team than us right now. We just got Rasul Douglas, right? We're just signed a couple of their players to sort of bolster offense. We're still guys getting back from injury. Like Kincaid was just used like to his full potential, not full potential, just used more as a feature in the offense. Like, it's going to take time for us to get to a spot where I feel like, okay, we're contenders again. I don't think we're that right now. Okay. Right. And so I think that Cincy is red hot right now and getting hotter. And I think that we're still like lukewarm, right? And we're not quite warming up right now. I think we were cold, right? And I think we warmed up a little bit after. I know that like the last drive is a little bit concerning against the Bucks, but I think that's stuff that can get cleaned up. We've got a gauntlet in November. We're not going to win all these games. I think we go 2-2 in this month, and I think this is one of the two losses. I think we probably lose by like 10.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not gonna root for it.
Sure,
for
sure. Team, no, of course. But like, I'm really excited for this game, 10. Though. I'm excited.
So there we go.
Well, there you go. You took the Titans on the road on Thursday night, and then you went with the two home teams in some juggernaut games of the Eagles taking down the Cowboys and the Bengals taking on the Bills.
I'll just say this. If we lose by 10, I'm going to be glad that I'm also playing D&D because I don't want to be focusing on it. So regardless. All right. So we some doozy games all around, right? Like, both of us have tough games to pick. I was surprised you didn't give me this one, which tips the cap to me that you feel pretty confident about your pick on that Sunday morning matchup in Germany, the Chiefs technically hosting the Dolphins.
Yeah, Frankfurt, get ready for what I imagine is going to be a really fun football game, which means it's going to be 9-15. And we'll see. Actually, I want it to be like 6-2.
I wonder if 9-15 is score origami. 6-2 has got to be a score origami.
6-2. Let's make it a soccer score. So this is fascinating to me, right? I am going to actually go with the quote home team of the Chiefs, which makes me sad that it'll just continue the narratives that the Dolphins can't beat good teams. I think that's a little bit of phooey personally. The one thing that's making me go towards the Dolphins a little bit is that they are already currently in Germany, where the Chiefs will not get there until Friday. And we have seen in these travel games, the team that's been there longer is more acclimated and more prepared to play. But the reason I'm going with the Chiefs is that coming off that loss where they did not operate, I think they're going to be putting an extra attention to the X's and O's to make sure that they are completely on their game plan. And when it comes down to it, as much as I love Mike McDaniel, I still have to say that Andy Reid is the more experienced, better head coach. So if they're on it, I'm taking the Chiefs. I don't see them losing two in a row. Like you with Buffalo against Cincinnati, I'm going to be rooting for Miami. And if they lose, I'm like, heck yeah. Or if the Dolphins win, I'm like, heck yeah, that's great. But I don't see the Chiefs dropping two in a row.
And another reason why I think I'm a unique fan is that I'm not the guy who's like, I don't care if Buffalo goes 16-0 and then all the teams that are in our division lose every game. I want Buffalo, Miami. I want our next matchup to be, I think it's the final week, isn't it?
It is.
I want that to be for the division. I want that to be the Sunday night flex game. And so if you guys do lose this one, if we do lose against the Bengals, I hope you lose too so that we can stay within that one game.
Sure.
Right? And so I'm going to be following that every week. It's like, if we win, okay, it's okay if they win. If we lose, please lose, Dolphins. Otherwise, you know what I mean? Because I like the Dolphins. If it's not us, I want it to be you guys, right? So we'll see what happens. Because I've given – I'm only like 1% hoping for the one seed now because it's really just not going to happen probably. I want that to be the last game of the year. So Seahawks traveling to the Ravens. Another one that I thought was really tough. Bird on bird crime.
That I definitely understand the notion that it's tough. But I think for me, this is pretty easily the Ravens. I think they're coming off one of their most complete games. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I think they stubbed their toe a little bit against Arizona, but they still looked pretty in control. At no point was I ever like, oh man, like they're going to lose. Like they don't have it. It wasn't as clean as it was against Detroit, but I feel confident in this Ravens team and the Seahawks coming over. If this was in Seattle, maybe I would feel differently a little bit. But as I get older and just see how it tends to work out, 5 years ago when we started this podcast, the whole travel thing, I did not believe an ounce. But as we continue to do this and just see that it clearly does make some sort of impact, which I just shake my head at a little bit, I think Baltimore takes this one. I think Seattle very easily could have lost to the Browns had they been just a little bit better of a quarterback play, and the Ravens have just everything right now. They have the defense and they have the offense, so I think this is Baltimore's game.
I think you're probably right. Stop biting me.
This is going to be a great game. Like I can see Seattle and we'll be like, what?
I think you're probably right, but I think I picked the Seahawks. I don't know. We'll see. So the first two games I gave to you, because we had to talk about them, right? They had to be covered. This last game is truly, and this might surprise you, the game of the week for me, because I do not know who wins this game at all. It's the hardest game all week in my mind to pick, and that's the Houston Texans hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I've got no earthly idea which one of these teams wins this game, so I'm forcing you to tell me.
Yeah, it is, which means you'll just pick the opposite of whatever I say, which is fine. This to me also, I mean, I don't want to say it is a dice roll, a crapshoot, whatever you want to call it. I am also not sure. So I'm going to go with the little bit of logic that you said earlier on. I'm going to go with the home team. I'm taking the Texans here, but it's just because I think when it comes down to it, and maybe I'm naive and foolish in this, I'm going to take the quarterback that I trust a little bit more right now, and that's CJ Stroud. I think Baker is doing more than I thought he would in Tampa, but we've also seen the chinks in that perfect start that they had start to crack a little bit. They don't have a good running game, and so defenses are able to key in a little bit more on their wide receivers, and I think, you know, D'Amico Ryans was just 1 week, but they were able to get after the quarterback a lot. I get that they lost that game, but if they can get some pressure on Baker, I think they win this one.
Yeah, I mean, they're the reverse Vikings, because the Bucs started 3-0, and then they've lost four straight, right? So it's tough for them. So yeah, I think I'd probably lean Texans too. But so you went with the home sweep.
What would
you
the went home the Chiefs sweep
home air quotes in Germany? The Ravens home and the Texans home. That was Pal's Picks, sponsored by Halloween, the whole entity of the holiday.
Wow, very good.
Boo. All right, let's get to some cold reads.
It is getting cold out. It is that time of the year.
I wondered if you would be upset that it's cold in my apartment. This morning, this morning it was really cold, and so I closed all the windows. It's like, I hope it warms up a little bit, because I don't want Josh to be mad at me. Anyway, I have one cold read, and it's, why hasn't Josh McDaniels been fired yet?
Oh, my God. Like, I don't know.
Like, if you had to pick one reason why why hasn't he been fired?
One legitimate reason?
Yeah, like pick a reason. Like put your head in that room. Why, when they're having conversations about the future of the Las Vegas Raiders, why is not the first thing, we need to fire our coach because it's hurting our team?
Because Mark Davis was obsessed with the Patriots and the success that they had, and he thinks that this person that was a part of it will be able to recreate that, and he is just convinced when Josh McDaniels, and this is an issue I have with McDaniels, he never takes fault, right? So if he's putting it on Derek Carr, or he's saying like, oh, like Josh Jacobs is rusty and he's not being able to reclaim what he was, and they have to be like, yeah, like you're right, like this can happen.
Josh McDaniels probably makes a really good car salesman. He's like, you're gonna want this warranty because I know it's a lot of money. You're gonna want it. I'll just put it on for you.
No, I really don't have. I mean, maybe him and Mark Davis, like they go out to the Bunny Ranch, and Josh is like, let me get this one for you, Mark. And Mark's like, you know what? This is a cool guy. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I don't know. I have no idea.
At this point, I almost want them to like win every game from this point to the end of the year because we both think they suck and we both hate them, and it would be so funny for content because every week you'd be like, what is happening? But all I know is that Davante Adams had a 98-yard touchdown last night that didn't happen because Garoppolo couldn't do it, and he had a 60-yard touchdown last night because Garoppolo couldn't do it. So what are we doing here?
It just I don't understand when and you can point to a lot of head coaches that have come in and struggled, right? Think about even a couple years ago on our show, we talked and you asked me if Dan Campbell should be fired. And I said no, because you see a synergy that is happening in that organization and players are playing for that coach. It is the complete 180 degree from what players are turning on Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
I just don't get it.
And it's got to come from all points. I mean, we don't have to continue on this too longer, but what I want to say is this. There are so many times where we talk about a continuity, right, within an organization. But what you really need is you need your head coach – and your quarterback, and your GM, and your president of operations, and your owner to all be together, culminating in this synergetic experience across the board, so that all of you are together, doing this together. And all five of those guys that I just named for the Raiders, I don't think any of them have ever been in the same room together for longer than 10 minutes. I don't believe it. Anyway, that's my cold read.
Oh, man, that is good. So I'm going to ask you, this is a weird one, right? So we didn't see any skill position player. I mean, outside of like Chase Claypool or whatever get traded this season. Like we saw CMC or TJ Hockenson last
year. Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh, that's true. We did see Donovan Peoples-Jones. I forgive me for that.
I'm actually feel like that could end up being a sneaky, really good one.
It could. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously we think that Jameson Williams could become something, right? But I mean, outside, like to get a number really good three or a really good four, like that could be they could do a lot of things for Detroit. So my question is, the second half of the year, I'm gonna exclude like a really easy thing like Christian McCaffrey, who is a skill position player that you expect to just take off in the second half of the year. It could be somebody that is already doing well but just puts an extra gear in it. But who do you think takes off?
I think I want to remove Buffalo from this for me, because the easy answers for me are Kincaid or Cook.
Okay.
Because they've both been, I mean, Kincaid just came onto the scene fully. And Cook's been actually really good, and nobody's really talking about it.
Yeah, right? So tell evidence me somebody that's like, not
let's
Buffalo.
Let's go get
then.
Derrick Henry, right?
Tell me someone that's not Buffalo.
No, I'm gonna stick with my love for this episode is a theme here of Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins. I'm gonna say Hopkins.
Okay.
I think that three touchdown game was like it was like a dam and something cracked, and I think now it's gonna burst wide open. And I think Hop is just gonna continue to churn out game after game that's really, really good. And I think by the end of the year we're gonna be like, D Hop is just D Hop, right? And it was really cool. They tweeted, this is just vintage D Hop, and Hopkins quote tweeted it and said, no, it's today. Or, you know, something like that. It's like, there's no vintage nothing. This is who I am now. And so going forward, I expect great things from DeAndre Hopkins, a guy who for the majority of career, I have pounded the table and said was the best receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's that right now, right? Because we have so many really great young ones, but he's just as good as a lot of these guys, and I expect him to continue to be awesome.
That's a good answer. I like that. We will see on Thursday night if that chemistry continues. And then my second silly question for you is, would you ever want to have honey poured on you?
Now, this is a PG-rated podcast, right?
I think we're probably PG-13.
Right, because the question I think you're asking...
No, my question... all right. My question stems from Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was talked because when preparing for the Philadelphia Eagles, Jerry Jones said, "I don't want to poke the bear." And then Dak said, "Hey, pour honey on me." Because he was talking about a bear. And I think it's a great soundbite that he's like, "Just pour the honey on me." And so... I just wanted to work that into the episode.
Oh, my God. I did not hear this. Oh, my God. I'm lightheaded.
That's not really a serious question, but I'm assuming the answer is no.
I mean, probably not. No. But my question, without getting too dirty, is that I'll try mostly anything once if somebody I care about asks me to try it.
Very good.
So.
Great.
Anyway, let's do Fantasy Corner.
Fantasy Corner.
Fantasy Corner.
Oh, wow.
Try something different every week.
It was intense.
We won.
We did. We're back on the winning side. So we're 5-3. We are the number two team once again, based on point total right now. So we still have our bye week right now. So we just got to make sure we don't let it go. Let's not fall again. But we are still in the situation where technically somebody has surpassed us. The team up right above us, they are 6-2. They have passed us in points four. We are still the lowly most points against. People are bringing their best.
Yeah, and I want to say this because we on the show last week, we were bummed that we couldn't get Dalton Kincaid. Turns out we were wrong. He was either dropped or he was there. And so Thursday morning, we picked up Dalton Kincaid and we played him in our flex and it was awesome. And I want to give credit to you because I was waffling on it because I was not waffling on my confidence in Dalton Kincaid, but I didn't want to be the guy that was like, "Let's play him," and then he plays poorly. So I said, "You just do it. I'm not even going to look at it. If you think that we should flex him, do it." You did. He scored a 17.5 points. And now with Laporta on bye, we have not just a viable option to play a tight end. We have a tight end play that we love.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's awesome.
I feel good about having both of them because it is a tight end premium. So I think there will be a lot of opportunities that we use both of them and utilize that. I feel good about the state of our team right now. So I don't think we need to really talk about how to replace or what to improve. So tell me in terms of fantasy in general, who is a player you're watching out for?
I'm having fun here. My fantasy player of the week is going to be bold. Okay. Ooh. And it's going to be a little fun. And this comes with a caveat. Okay. This is for players. If you are in a super flex league, but not just any, if you are in a deeper super flex league, so I'm talking more than 10 teams, right? 12, 14. My guy that you should pick up, I'm saying let's roll the dice, baby. Pick up Jaren Hall and start him. Viking, he's playing Sunday. He's a dual threat quarterback. Kevin O'Connell said, "I believe in this kid. We're going to roll him out." Pick up Jaren Hall. Again, I'm telling you, I'm talking about deep super flex. I'm in one of these. I had to start Tyrod Taylor two straight weeks, right? So if you're struggling at quarterback, it cannot get much worse than this. I picked up Will Levis on Sunday morning and didn't play him, and I regret it because he was awesome, and I might have won my matchup.
You picked him up?
Yeah, he's on my roster in the league with our Dallas correspondent, Mike. He's roster.
I thought you were talking about like one of your like super crazy. I was like, how is he not drafted?
No. I picked him up in the Superflex league that I'm in Mike's league, and I didn't play him because I was nervous. Screw that. Pick up Jaren Hall. If you're in a deep Superflex league and you're struggling at quarterback, put him in your lineup. Do it. Roll the dice, man. Let's go.
You're all about the Titans, number two seed, everybody.
Let's go.
Back at it. I'm going to go with a not super deep.
I will say, I was talking about Jaren Hall, but if Will Levis is there, go that first.
Oh, right. You're right.
Do Will Levis first if he's available, yes. But okay. He probably won't be because smart people like me already picked him up. But if he's available, do that. If not, Jaren Hall, let's roll the dice. Let's go.
You're so smart. All right, I'm going to go with New Orleans wide receiver Rashid Shaheed. Obviously, only three targets last week, but big play every time he touches the football. There have been numerous games that he's already averaged over 15 yards per catch. And as they have a favorable couple of games coming up here for against wide receivers, and if this New Orleans Saints offense starts to click the way that I think they're trending towards, it could be a big boon for you.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm having a tough year in fantasy. I've got a couple of really good teams that have lost really close matchups. And then I have a couple of really, really bad teams. So,
well, you want to know where we're – I'll give us a shout-out in another league. We did a startup dynasty league with the three of us, Adam, myself, and my fiance Jenna. Right now, I mean, we still have a lot of weeks to go, but all three of us are right now in playoff spots.
I really like my team in that league. That league is called Game of Touchdowns, so we are all – what's really funny is it fits our personalities is we're all Game of Thrones references. So my team's the Red Vipers of Dorne. Your fiance is I Know Nothing, a reference to You Know Nothing, Jon Snow. So that's very cute. And Josh is
Hufflepuff.
I think it's awesome. Also, in one of our other leagues, I think some of our friends in Sirius IDP have started listening. So if you are listening, thank you guys. But Josh and I love to do themes in leagues. And so he's Prepare for Trouble and I Make It Double. And we have a picture of Jesse and James. And Kamish was like, we need to beat Team Rocket this week. And we both did lose. Now, I think you still got your median.
I did.
Because it is a league median league. I did not. And so he sent... He always sends a week in review, and one of the gifts is like Team Rocket.
Really I thought hurt, it was pretty funny.
Which is pretty cute. So.
Pretty funny.
All right, let's do some friends' fortune. Do you think I can get one?
I know probably you can. Probably not,
but I went first last week.
No,
so.
You can. Oh, you did?
Yeah, so you okay. Go ahead.
I'll go first. Man, he is such a good kid. Oh. All right, everybody. I am going to the defensive side of the football. I'm going to go to that Dallas-Philadelphia game. I think we're going to see at least 10 sacks in that game as the defenses get all over those opposing quarterbacks. It's going to be a slugfest, I think. So let's see what happens. 10 sacks combined between those two teams. Shoot a ba 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 ba.
All right, I'm back. Was that me or did my cat knock that off? Okay. I keep saying I'll cut this stuff out and then I don't because sometimes it's fun. All right, folks, here we go. I'm down 0-3, but here we go. I'm getting one this week. Let's go to Thursday Night Football. I totally believe in the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis. I also believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I'm predicting a shootout. Both quarterbacks go for 3+ total touchdowns, so at least 3 total touchdowns from each starting quarterback in this game. Be one of the best games of the week. No, oh, sorry. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones
sorry about the doorbell.
I used to know. That was funny. I don't know if that's on the audio, but if it is, I'm keeping it. All right, folks. Pick and pull update. I'm still winning. Nobody cares. I got two more tidbits, and then we're off to see the wizard, folks, on Halloween.
Trick-or-treating tonight, so...
The Buffalo Bills' success rate on no-huddle plays on Thursday night was 65% against the Buccaneers. To put that in perspective, 50% success rate on no-huddle plays is considered an elite number. We were 65% success rate. So hopefully we continue that up-tempo going forward. I talked a lot about how I felt that Allen had command over that offense during that game.
Sure.
Last fact about the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen is now, and this is crazy, how many times we talk about you hear first time ever and you're like, there's no way that's the first time ever. But Josh Allen is the first player in the Super Bowl era with 17+ passing touchdowns and 5+ rushing touchdowns in the team's first 8 games. So it's crazy to think that like that's the first time that's ever happened because I wouldn't think that, but it's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the Super Bowl era.
Hot dang.
It's a pretty long time. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. If you are listening to this after Halloween, then happy Thanksgiving and Christmas season. It's very exciting. My tree will be up by the time you're listening to this, most likely. Yeah. Hope you had a half safety Halloween. Anything else, pal?
We will see you next week.
God bless.